Philippians 2:25-30 and Philippians 4:16-20. So Philippians 2:25-30. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. Ephesians 4:16-20. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. So the topic of our sermon series today is Epaphroditus, a faithful messenger. And we welcome our speaker, Sister Ejinlane Zeribe, to share the word, and we look forward to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme on the impact of unsung hero. Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together yet again to worship and praise your name. Thank you for the joy in our hearts, for your steadfastness, for your loving kindness, and the hope that you give us at all times. As we prepare to hear your word, help us to understand and practice it, so that your name will be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning and happy Mothering Sunday. Today we celebrate mothers and women for their constant love and devotion. Also, we celebrate those that have had the role of motherhood unexpectedly foisted on them. Fathers, brothers, sisters, family members. And today and always we honor them. As we continue to play motherhood roles, may the Lord give us wisdom and discernment in bringing up our children and wards in the image of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our quarter theme, as we've been told, ends today. Okay? And it was on the impact, it still is, on the impact of unsung heroes. And our topic for today is Epaphroditus, a faithful messenger. As we go into it, I'd just like to ask us to take a moment to reflect on who we consider, someone we consider to be our hero or role model. Just reflect for a few moments. Usually, we tend to choose someone famous, someone with exceptional qualities, someone with an exemplary character that we want to admire, that we admire or we want to emulate. Other times we choose someone not so famous. It could be a teacher, a pastor, a preacher, a mentor, a coach, perhaps a housekeeper or a parent. And most times, whether we are a male or female child, we tend to choose a mother, don't we? I'm reminded of Ann Taylor's poem, which says, "She sat and watched my infant head when sleeping on my cradle bed, and tears of sweet affection shed." Who? My mother. "When tears and sickness made me cry, she gazed upon my eyes and she prayed for fear that I should die." Who? My mother. "And she taught my infant lips to pray and also to love God's holy book each day and walk in wisdom's pleasant way. My mother." Such profound words for a mother. I'm also reminded, of course, of Prince Mbaga's song, which we listened to the instrumentals, and I'm sure if we were not in a church setting, we would have really begun to dance frenetically to that tune, okay, with such gusto. Because let's face it, sweet mother, I no go ever forget you for the suffer way you suffer for me. Mothers are unsung heroes. Most times, they do valuable, challenging work, and most times again without recognition. Think, Brother Furo has already given us the biblical ones. Let's look at some of the earthly ones. Fumilayo Ransom Kuti, advocate for women's rights, women's votes, who died from wounds she received from a military invasion in her family home. Think, Hajia Agambo Sawaba. She fought against child marriages. She was a victim of a child marriage herself. And she's said to have been imprisoned 16 times and was the most tortured and jailed Nigerian female prisoner. Think, Aduni Oluwole, the woman that had the audacity to set up a political party in the 1950s, and she actually won a seat. Or most recently, let's even think of Obianuju Ude, alias DJ Switch, who bravely streamed the atrocities that were committed at the Lekki toll gate during the End SARS movement. There are many more. In the Bible, in the world, they sacrificed their sweat, they sacrificed their time, they sacrificed their energy and their resources to make a positive impact on the quality of life of others, without counting the cost, without thinking of themselves. They are like Epaphroditus, an unsung hero who went above and beyond duty to serve Apostle Paul against all odds. So, a bit of a background. Paul had been arrested, as we know, and in a Roman prison, whether it was house arrest or not, a prison is a prison. The Philippian church that he had planted a long time ago sent him a financial gift through Epaphroditus. And his letter to the Philippians, where we hear about Epaphroditus, was to thank them for the gift. It was also to encourage them in their faith and to urge them to imitate Jesus' self-giving love. And another thing that he said to them was to receive Epaphroditus with gladness and honor him for what he had done for the work of Christ, selflessly and at great risk. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to look at three questions. The first, who was Epaphroditus? The second one, why did the church in Philippi send him to Paul? And the last one, why did Paul send him back to Philippi? And then we'll close. Okay, so let's start with Epaphroditus, a name that I must confess I didn't know until I got this topic. Who was he? We're told he was a faithful messenger, selfless character, totally committed to the gospel. And of course, we deduce from this that he was a respected member of the church at Philippi, because the church had chosen him to embark on this journey just because they thought of him as reliable and dedicated to the work of God. And so, he's actually portrayed as an ordinary person. Nothing special. He wasn't like Timothy. Timothy was a preacher. Timothy was a teacher. A spiritual leader who was called by God and trained by Paul. He wasn't a trailblazer like Paul. Paul, the statesman, apostle, and perhaps the greatest Christian that ever lived. So, we are not clear, but we are not told that he was a pastor or a preacher or that he had a ministry. Maybe he was one of these things, but we are not told clearly in those few verses where he's mentioned. We are not told of his social status. We are not told that he was a member of royalty or he was a person of means. We are not told all these things. We're just told, or we deduce, that he was the hero of the common man. But Paul described him fully, firstly, as my brother, because they shared a faith and a spiritual bond as members of God's family. He called him a fellow worker because they collaborated actively in the work of the gospel. And then a fellow soldier. They faced spiritual battles in advancing Christ's kingdom. Because certainly, as we know, Satan and the false teachers were busy attacking the church of Christ. So they had to be ready to do the work they had to do. And then he says to the church, "Your messenger to me, you've sent him to me to run this errand." And he says, "Minister to my need." Paul is here acknowledging that Epaphroditus sacrificed a lot at great expense just for his benefit. Something else we need to know about Epaphroditus is that he was born a pagan. Okay? His name meant belonging to Aphrodite. And Aphrodite was the goddess of love, beauty, and luck. The name meant charming, handsome, or things in that direction. But at some point, he got converted and became a Christian, giving his life wholeheartedly to the gospel. Now, from this story of Epaphroditus, we learn three important things. The importance of sacrificial service, selfless love, and the strength of Christian fellowship. So that's the first question. We have an idea of who he is, and we want to be like him. Simple person, a nobody that at some point just became somebody. So let's look at the second question. Why did the church send Epaphroditus to Paul? Clearly, from our reading, he was sent to give Paul a financial offering and to minister to his needs. Let's look at this a bit more. It was a prison situation. Prisons are unsafe, they can be unfriendly, and when you have a VIP personality such as Paul in that prison, you can imagine how tense the place would have been like. It wasn't a place, a prison is not a place that either the incarcerated or those that go to visit them want to be in. It wasn't a vacation spot. I know that our VFC Alpha Prison Ministry is currently visiting the Kirikiri Maximum Female Prison. Members that have been visiting will tell you that it can be quite emotional. Many years ago, I'm sure Brother Bayo, Sister Aita will remember, on that same ministry, to that same prison, we got there and I met a university schoolmate of mine, not as a worker, but as an inmate, and it shook me. So what am I trying to say? Epaphroditus was not an inmate. But he went there sacrificially because he had to minister to Paul's needs. It wasn't the regular thing anything would want to do. It wasn't something that the faint-hearted do, but only one that's selfless, sacrificial, and committed to the task ahead. Another reason this church sent him, to represent the church and walk in close proximity with Paul. What are they telling us here? Paul doesn't strike us as someone who will slow down because he was awaiting trial. The gospel had to be preached to the ends of the earth at all costs. And so, as fellow soldiers, Epaphroditus and Paul defended the truth of the gospel despite spiritual battles that were launched by Satan and his cohorts. So they stood together in brotherhood. They stood together as fellow workers, as fellow soldiers, because the show must go on. Nothing can stop it. And what's that show? Propagating the cause of Christ, propagating Christ's kingdom all over the world. Paul wasn't going to relent. Paul knew that he was going to die at some point. Anyway, he had given up his life, and this work was meant to go on. It was his resounding goal in life. And so in representing the church, Epaphroditus was there, standing. This had to be done. Remember, he was a converted Christian. At this point, there was no thought of his name or who he belonged to. Aphrodite had been abandoned totally. He chose the living God. He didn't choose the world and its pleasures. He chose the living God because he knew that only Jesus can save. This reminds me of when I was an early Christian and I was this song we used to sing, only Jesus can save. SCM cannot save you. That scripture Christian movement cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. So brethren, I ask, what gods, what goddesses are we worshiping in place of or as well as the Almighty God? What calls have we been initiated into knowingly or unknowingly that compete with the living God? A few weeks ago in one of our Wednesday morning prayers, one of us gave this testimony about how a primary school girl in their daughter's school tried to initiate their daughter into a cult by giving her symbols of the cult as a birthday gift. What are we saying? There are spiritual battles around us that we have to fight. Because, brethren, the show must go on. And so, Epaphrodite stood with Paul, fighting these spiritual battles. And it is likely, and we're going to talk about it later if there's time, that the intensity of Paul and Epaphrodite's teaching, preaching, praying could have led to the danger to his life and could have been the cause of his sickness. But let me leave that for now. Another reason that they sent him, he had the heart of a servant and he was a man of courage. The needs of the church and the needs of Paul came first in his life at personal risk. He didn't care for his life. Think of that travel that he took all the way from Philippi to Rome, 800 miles approximately, 6 weeks journey, not just by road, walking, and then in a ship by sea, if possible. Treacherous terrain. And of course, there was this fear that he could have been recognized. Okay? He could have been recognized as one that was a Christian. It could have happened. And even when he got to Rome, when he was there, Paul was already awaiting trial. So anybody that was aligned to him was also at great risk. Any associate of Paul was at great risk. But he went there, not counting the cost. For him, no task was too menial, no sacrifice was too big, and no risk too great for Christ's kingdom. And the last point on that before we go to the final question is, he was filled with zeal for the kingdom of God. He sacrificed, knowing that his actions would impact the kingdom, the expansion of the kingdom of Christ, even though he knew he could lose his life. Think about Epaphroditus. Think about each and every one of us. It's possible that he had a wife back in Philippi, children, a job, family members. But he left them. He left his comfort zone for the sake of the kingdom. Brethren, if next Sunday I ask Brother Ben to move from his seat and go to the back there and sit, Brother Ben is not going to find it funny. None of us would, because we all have our comfort zones. So you can imagine the sacrifice that Epaphroditus had made. And this is what missionaries do. The gentleman from Langham just told us some of that this morning. This is all about the Great Commission. Because God calls us to be used of his glory to extend his kingdom. It's not necessarily about us being good people, doing good deeds. And that was what Brother Oke Onuzo was telling us last Sunday. It's not necessarily about that. It's about using his glory to extend the kingdom. So I'm going to go to the third question. Okay, I'm going to go to the third and final question. So with all these things, with the work for the kingdom going on, why did Paul send Epaphroditus back to Philippi? Let's face it, all of us, we're always glad to have company. It's a human need. And sometimes it can be a selfish need that we have. But Paul sent Epaphroditus back. And we want to ask why. I'm just going to read a few sentences out. Paul was worried the people in Philippi were worried that Epaphroditus was sick. Second one, Epaphroditus was sad because the Philippians were worried about him. And the third one, Paul felt sad that Epaphroditus was sad, the Philippians were worried about him. What are we talking about? Relationships. It's about relationships. It's about affection. It's about care. It's about empathy. Brethren, do we have this? In our society, the tendency is that we are concerned more with things rather than people, possessions rather than relationships, things rather than feelings. As a woman, and my fellow women will agree with me, I believe, and because today is Mothering Sunday, we are more concerned with our clothes, our shoes, our jewelry, our wigs, our makeup. I'm not saying we shouldn't have them, but when we acquire more, when we haven't used the much that we have, that's what I'm talking about. Ladies, I'm one of you. Our eyes light up as we accumulate things. I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking to all of us. I have a friend from school who has suitcases of clothes up on her wardrobe that she hasn't opened in 1 year, with clothes she hasn't worn in 20 years. And she tells me that she's still going to wear them because she's going to fit and lose weight and go down to that size again after 20 years. And she's reluctant to give them out because you know what she tells me? She says, these clothes were very expensive. I cannot just give them to charity because they won't understand the value. And I think to myself, the value in a suitcase on a wardrobe for over 20 years, what are we talking about? When I say these things, I say because I've gone through, just a few weeks ago, I had a pair of shoes, a pair of sneakers I wanted to give out. Brand new, I'd never worn them. The shoes were that my knees had told me that, Ejine, you can't wear this anymore. Eh? It's not for you. So I knew I was going to give. And I found the person I wanted to give them to, quite honestly. And I told her I had shoes and sneakers. Now, the sneakers, I love them so much, I didn't have another one. But when I bought them, the shop mistakenly gave me two sizes higher, so I couldn't wear them. But I still held on to it. The day her husband came to my house to collect, I gave him the shoes. And he said to me, my wife said that they are also sneakers. Brethren, I'm confessing now. I told the husband that, yes, but I don't know where they are. I'll look for them and I'll bring them to you. I knew exactly where they were, but I was still holding on. But I think that at some point, wisdom prevailed. The next day, I called the husband. He walks around where I live. And I brought out the sneakers in the box. And having looked at them lustfully, I gave it up. Not an easy thing to do. I must tell you, not an easy thing to do. And you know the truth? Seemingly, our men have joined us. But very wisely, I'm not going to go into that today. Today is Mothering Sunday. So what am I saying to us ladies? Brethren, there is an item of clothing or whatnot in your wardrobe, in your possession that does not belong to you. Things are idols that we need to tear down from the throne to worship only God. Just so that you know that we are still on Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus did not belong in things. For him, his life was a thing that could have been dispensed with. He wasn't interested in that. Okay? He was not obsessed because he was sick and had had a brush with death. He was upset because brethren in Philippi were upset. It was about relationship. And sometimes we can say to ourselves, you know what? We have this 50-50. Yes, we have this love for things and we have this love of people and relationships. 50-50, Pareto principle, 80-20. What is it? Where do we stand? So he wasn't upset. But let's look at verse 27 of our reading. Let's look at, if you can just put it up, verse 27. It says, for indeed, and that was Paul speaking, he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Just think about it. Just think about Paul. Just think about us here. What would have happened if Epaphroditus had died? For us here, we are saying, Paul has used his head in exchange for his life. That's the kind of thing we will say. Okay? So what do we see here? An abundance of love. Paul that loved, a church that loved, and Epaphroditus that loved. It's all about relationships. And when we put things before people, this love eludes us. So, let's look at the next verse, which is verse 28. You can keep it on the screen. Therefore, we're going to look at it till the end, all the verses till the end. Verse 28 says, therefore, I have sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. So what did Paul needed him? There's no gainsaying it. But he sent him back because Paul was more concerned with the joy of the Philippians rather than his own joy. Again, affection, love, and unselfish concern. These are the things that play out here. And if we remember, I think we read it, Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. The only way we can be adjudged to be like Jesus Christ is when we look out for the interests of others rather than our own interests. And this was the import of some of the things that were said in the adult Bible study this morning. Okay? So verse 29, as we begin to get to the end, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. Why was that? We see the answer in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service to me. What kind of death do you come close to when you are doing the work of God or the work of Christ in a hostile environment? Epaphroditus was engaged in spiritual conflict, battles with forces of hell, and he came close to death in the work of Christ. Just because he was bold, he was courageous, just because he was selfless, just because he was sacrificial, and he almost lost his life, and he didn't care. He put his neck on the line. He exposed himself to danger, not necessarily disease. You know what? Some people lean on the fact that Epaphroditus came close to martyrdom. And Paul said, reward him by celebrating and appreciating him, by holding him in high esteem and honoring him. What was the reward? It was not money. It was not position. It was not riches. It was not fame. It was not popularity. The reward was simple: returning to a church that loved and appreciated him and held him in high regard. As we conclude, I want to ask us a few questions. What have we sacrificed for others? What have we turned from to wholly focus on Christ? Wholly focus on Christ. How can we be like Epaphroditus? Are we concerned with what we can give or what we can get? Because, brethren, when we come to the end of life, the question will not be how much you have gotten. The question is going to be how much have you given? Let us pray. With your heads bowed, just think about the words you have heard this morning. Think. How much are you giving for the cause of Christ to make him known? Have we given enough? Have we given 50%? Is it still a journey for us, and are we trying to get there? For most of us, it is a journey. How would others describe us? Will they describe us as workers and soldiers for the cause of Christ? How? Will they describe us as selfless, sacrificial, with the strength of Christ's kingdom in our hearts, as people with humility like Epaphroditus? As you think to yourself, think about the steps that you're going to take. And so, Father, may our prayer always be that we will stand in awe of you. May we look upon you. May we strive as we try to imitate Jesus Christ. Give us that heart to be people of class, like Epaphroditus, compassionate, loving, affectionate, sacrificial, and filled with selflessness. Help us in this regard, O Lord, because all praise is due to you and to you alone. For in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen.